Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
It's great to be here Sunday morning and to be bringing the word to you this morning. My husband and Pastor Anthony and some of our congregation are in South Africa at our conference over there. And I know my husband is still flying. He left at 2 o'clock yesterday, 5 o'clock yesterday, and he had to land in Nigeria in the middle of the night because two people got very, very sick. So they had to land in Nigeria and then they had to take off again. So he's still flying. So keep them in prayer. He's speaking at our South Africa conference, and we have churches all over the world, and it's an amazing privilege to be part of an international ministry that's church planting. We are on the move, and that's an exciting time. I just want to thank the pastoral team for giving me access to the pulpit. I'm grateful for the men of God in this church. I'm grateful for their leadership. I'm grateful that this is a ministry that raises men of God. And not just women, but strong men of God that know how to deal with strong women. Praise God. Here I am. No, yes. And most important, I thank God for my salvation today, and I am grateful, grateful woman, grateful for my purpose, and grateful for my calling. Today we're going to speak about the title of my message. I don't know if it's up there. It says, "What was that season all about?" Can anybody say, you may still be in that season, but what on earth was that season all about? And today I'm going to give you a little bit of understanding. There's quite a lot of feedback on here, like it's echoing on the sound, so I don't know if we can do something with that. And I'm going to give you some explanation about what this season, that season, was all about. Now, you may be visiting this church today, and the Holy Spirit will make it applicable to you based upon the seasons that we go through. In Ecclesiastes 3:1, it says, "Everything has its time. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven." And we have been in a season as a church where God has began to show us that he slowed us down to start working upon us deep within our foundations. And we also have been through a season where God has matured his church. He's matured individuals. He's matured us as a body. But to do that, he had to allow certain things within our lives to bring out that stuff. And he did that to go deep into some foundations. And sometimes what he does is he shakes a few things to cause us to have to dig deep with him. I want to read a little story to you, and I like it, so I want to read it. It's called, and it's based upon what I'm going to speak about today. It's called Potatoes, Eggs, and Coffee Beans. And I just have to put my glasses on. It's just a sad, sad day in my life. It's just, and I've got two sets of glasses, one for my everyday and then one for reading. I mean, it really is sad. Let's have it right. I mean, I'm nearing 50 years old and I'm not happy about the glasses situation. But anyway, it comes to all of us. Potatoes, eggs, and coffee beans. Once upon a time, a daughter complained to her father that her life was miserable and that she didn't know how she was going to make it. She was tired of fighting and struggling all the time, and it seemed just as one problem was solved, another one soon followed. Her father, a chef, took her to the kitchen. He filled three pots with water and placed on a high fire. Once the three pots began to boil, he placed potatoes in one pot, eggs in the second pot, and ground coffee beans in the third pot. He then let them sit and boil without saying a word to his daughter. The daughter moaned and impatiently waited. Anyone moaned and impatiently waited lately? Wondering what he was doing. And after 20 minutes, he turned off the burners. He took the potatoes out of the pot and placed them in a bowl. He pulled the boiled eggs out and placed them in a bowl. Stay with me. He then ladled the coffee out and placed it in a cup. Turning to her, he said, "Daughter, what do you see?" And she said, "Potatoes, eggs, and coffee." "Look closer," he said, "and touch the potatoes." She did and noted that they were soft. He then asked her to take an egg and break it. After pulling off the shell, she observed the hard-boiled egg, and finally he asked her to sip the coffee. Its rich aromas brought a smile to her face. "Father, what does this mean?" she asked. He then explained that the potatoes, the eggs, and the coffee beans had faced the same adversity, the boiling water. However, each one reacted differently. The potato went in strong and hard and unrelenting, but in boiling water it became soft and weak. The egg was fragile, with the thin outer shell protecting its liquid interior until it was put in boiling water. Then the inside of the egg became hard. However, the ground coffee beans were unique, and after they were exposed to the boiling water, they changed the water and created something new. "Which are you?" he asked his daughter. "When adversity knocks on your door, how do you respond? Are you a potato, an egg, or a coffee bean?" Moral in life: things happen around us. Things happen to us. But the only thing that truly matters is what happens within us. And you're not in control of what happens to you. But you are definitely have the decision of how you respond to it. And this season has demanded a response. It could be a good response, but it also could have been a bad response. I don't know about you, but I have been a potato. I have been a boiled egg, and I have been coffee. I've been in all those three places, so I know how it feels to be responding in all three ways. But the good news today is it doesn't matter what and how you have responded, his mercy is new every day. That scripture for me, that beautiful scripture, his mercy is new every day. It's like dew on the grass. Have you ever seen dew on the grass? It's fresh. It's never been before. It's new. And so in this season, God has been taking us through many, many things. But the purpose of the season was to mature us. And we're going to look at what that looks like through this message, is what are the signs of maturity and what are the signs of immaturity? So then we can look at it and think, okay, which one am I? Where do I need to make changes? What do I need to do in certain situations? In James 1:2-8, but I'm just going to read 1:2-4. It says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, so that you may be complete and lacking nothing." The word patience is a Greek word, and it means enduring. It means consistent. It means continuance. It means stay under. It means stay in. It means stay behind. It means pressing through. You see, patience is a very important word in the Christian world, because You will inherit the promises through patience and through faith. It's what God uses to produce character. It's what God uses in our lives as Christians. And then it goes on to say that through patience, the testing of our faith, but let patience have its perfect work. And that word perfect is a word to do with sanctification. And I don't hear that word being thrown round the Christian circles these days. I don't hear sanctification, being holy because I am holy, being separated, being called, living a life separate in the world but not of the world. Sanctification is the will of God. People say to me a lot of the time, what is the will of God? To be holy is the will of God. To be separated from this world is the will of God. The rest of it is something God just gives you to unwrap and you live. But without holiness and sanctification, there is no seeing of God. He shares his covenant with those that fear him, that are pure of heart, pure in body, pure in speech, pure. He shares his covenant with. There's no shortcut. There's no secret code. There's no other key. There's no other principle. There's one word. It's called the Word of God. It's not changed. It stayed the same from the beginning to the end. And it applies to me and you, no matter what age, no matter what status, no matter where you've come from, no matter where you're going. The Word of God is unchained. It is for all of us. And as Christians, we have to be doers of the word. We have to obey the word of God. If there's one thing at the end of this, I want you to remember a little bit more of that. But I want you to remember this caption. Stop. Think. Reflect. And act. In everything we do, we have to be men and women that are able to stop, to think, to reflect, and to act. Because our natural person wants to act a certain way, respond a certain way. But we are to reflect the image of Christ. Our initial response is to fight, to confront, to hurt, to damage. Naturally, we want to do those things. I want justice. I want to be heard. I want this and I want it now. But the spirit man within us, we have to stop, think, reflect, ponder, be still, come under, yield. Reflect, examine, ponder, be silent, process, and then act. Many of us act, think, reflect, and then repent. But the Lord is bringing his church to a place where we're not responding in the natural, but we're men and women that produce the fruit of the Spirit, producing self-control, long-suffering, patience, joy, gentleness. They're the fruit of the Spirit. They're the things that God wants to produce in his children. It says the Lord will perfect those things that concern us. I love that scripture. I declare it to him all the time. I say, God, you're perfecting, making complete. I am walking out what you've already done. It is finished, says the Lord. He completed it upon the cross. We just have the privilege of walking it out with fear and trembling. We have the privilege. In this season, where the Lord is producing character and he's producing maturity, And he's causing his children and his church to respond in a way that will honor him. He uses situations and circumstances. And in Exodus, it says, 23:30, it says, little by little, I will drive them out from before you. And I know we went through the giant series, until you have increased and you inherit the land. Sometimes the struggle we have is we forget what God has said in the light when we go into the darkness. You see, the Lord has been very clear over these last few years. He's spoken very clearly through the men of God, through the women of God. It's not confusing. What is confusing is your feelings and your circumstances and your situations. Yes, they can be confusing, but he is not confusing. He has been clear. He said we were going into a time where we were going to bear fruit. Little did we know that it was going to be fruit in our lives. Little did we know it, men, that our character was going to go through some things, that we were going to be tested, that we were going to go through trials of faith, various trials. Your trial is different to my trial, but it really doesn't matter. What matters is your trial was real to you, and it's been real to me. But the Lord didn't take them away. The Lord didn't just go, here you are, my child. Let me just remove that from you. It's so difficult. Oh, tap you on the head. Give us a hug. He didn't do it. No, little by little by little will he drive the enemies from your land. Why? Because he is producing something in you. He's doing something in you because he's more interested about your character and who you are becoming than what you do. He's interested in who you are. He's interested in your responses, what you do on your own in your secret place, your process. He's interested in you. In Exodus, he talks that he'll take them into the promised land and he will drive out the enemies. We can never forget that even though the enemies were giants in the promised land, those spirits are still prevalent today. We're still dealing with giants. They may not actually be physical giants, thank God. Sometimes I'd rather see a physical giant and knock him clean in the face. But these spiritual giants, you can't see them, but they're still in operation today. And there's a few ones when I prayed and I was seeking God of those things that are prevalent today. The first giant, I'm only going to hit three, and we've gone over these, but I just want to bring a different perspective. The first one is the Amorite. And the reason why I want to speak about the Amorite giant in its spirit is prevalent, is it's talking about self. It's talking about speaking against oneself, speaking against other people, but it is birthed in selfishness. It is birthed in I am. And in this world today, if there was anything that was more prevalent, it's about me, myself, and I. It's about what about me? And so what happens is when we feel we're not heard and we feel we're overlooked or we feel unjustified or we feel like it should have been this way, then what we do is we raise our voices, and this giant, this spirit, causes the injustice within us, the self within us, to say, how dare they? How dare they? And then what happens, you start speaking against whatever that thing, it might be politics. Politics is prevalent today. How dare they? Who do they think they are? And we're sat in front of our TVs and we're pulling down every political person. Don't say you haven't done it, because I do it. I sit there and I am, and I won't name names because I'm on the fence, on the pulpit, as far as politics is concerned. And we sit there and the injustice and how dare they? And this spirit of self that rises up in sort of is in operation. And we, as mature believers, we have to be able to deal with that uncontrolled tongue, because that uncontrolled tongue is from immaturity. It's from emotion. We have to be able to deal with this. You will eat the fruit of the things you say. You will eat it. It will follow you. It will be your portion. It will be your fruit. You will eat what you speak. It don't matter whether you're in your front room, whether you're grumbling in your car, you will eat that somewhere along the line. That tomato is going to hit you right bang in the face, because you will eat it. I will eat it. Not just you. I will. We will. We're in this together. And so God has been dealing and maturing our speech, what we speak about, who we speak to, how we speak to ourselves. Big thing. I hear so many people speak down to themselves. Stop. I even say to my children, don't say that. Don't say that. Because how we speak, how that self-talk, how we speak about others, how we speak about situations. In this season, God is maturing us to be able to speak life. Speak life and life abundantly. Stop. Think. Reflect and act. Stop, think, reflect, and then act. Don't act, don't think, and then have to repent. He's been mature in his church. Pastor Yongyi Chow, love him. I can quote him from here. I think he's an amazing, amazing man of God and author. He wrote, before you can be changed, you must change your language. If you do not change your language, you cannot change yourself. See this here? Mess you up. And I'm not just talking to you, I'm talking to all of us. We're all in this together. We're all working on ourselves, right? We're all working on ourselves. And God is dealing with us to do with the maturity of what we speak about, who we speak to about it, about how we speak to ourselves, how we speak to the world around us. See, because you can create or destroy. You can create or destroy. It's your choice. And this church, I want this church, the pastors want this church to be a church of a healthy culture. But it comes from all of us. It's all of us that are going to do that. Holding each other account and saying, stop, stop. No, not here, not this ground, no. And being people that hold each other account. The second one that's prevalent in this world is the Canaanite spirit, which is the spirit of more, 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 and more. Give me more, 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 more. I want more. And how much is enough? Have you ever been in a place? I actually haven't, but anyway. I've been in a place where you have felt, you got the stuff and you have felt so empty. Anyone ever been in that place where you just, it's the stuff becomes so not that important? And some of you are thinking, no, I actually want to experience that. No. I actually want to experience that. Well, let that be your portion in Jesus' name. But I'm just letting you know, when you do experience more, there is nothing so empty with the more without God. The Canaanite spirit just literally causes you to just constantly chase after the pound note. Constantly working, never enough, never enough, never enough, never. And the Bible says it's like holes in our pockets. It just, what happened? I'm earning like so much more than I did 10, 20 years ago, and I have nothing. And what happens is we allow the spirit of the world, because it's the spirit of the world that causes us to allow that lie to enter into our lives. And this is, you see, you cannot serve God and riches. You cannot serve two masters. This is what the word says. You can't serve God and you can't serve mammon. And there is one thing in the Bible, and I've always said this, there's one thing in the Bible that says, test me in this. And it's to do with finances. That's a heavy, heavy thing. And you may think, well, you would say that because you're married to the pastor of the church, blah, 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 blah. Let me tell you something. I don't give just because of my position. I give because of my covenant with God. I give because it's worship to God. I give because I know who God is and I know why I give to him. I know that I obey his word and I have seen his provision. I've seen his miraculous power. I have seen it. I've seen the protection from the enemy. I've seen it. That's why I give. I give because of my conviction to God. And so this spirit of Canaanite comes and he causes people to pull back, to hold back what belongs to God. And mature people, it's not even about necessarily any person. It's about a covenant between them and God. When it leaves my hand, it's the Lord's. That's a mature giver. In Proverbs 3:9, it says, honor the Lord with your possessions and the first fruits of all your increase. Your possessions and your first fruits, which means the first bit you skim off the top and you give to God. It's a privilege. What a privilege. It all belongs to God anyway. And you take off and you say, okay, Father, that's yours. And the rest, you're going to help me manage it. Thank you, Jesus, that you give me the privilege of managing it. And in 20 years of serving God, you know, I have never, ever seen God fail us. Yes, close to the bone. Yeah. Oh, by the wire. It's close. Yes, yes, yes. Remember what I said? Little by little, he will drive the enemies from your land. Why does he not take it? Why doesn't he just release millions to us all? Because we'd probably walk away. Become fat cats. Yeah. Sat up there in your fat cat house, all fat. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to produce in you. And in due season, he'll bless you. You won't be the same person when he blesses you, though. He won't have the same hold on you because you will be changed. It will be different. So we have to be mindful of this spirit of Canaanite and the only way you can break this power is become a giver. And you know what happens to me and Paul when we're in trouble financially? We just give more. You may think that's nuts. Well, we are nuts. If you didn't know, we are nuts. We don't live by the world's system. We live by God's system. God's system. And we have tested and proven that God's system works. So when we're in trouble financially, we sow a seed. We give our tithes, we give our United We Can, and then we give a hilarious gift. Take that, enemy. Take that, Canaanite spirit. And you know what God does? He's like, okay, come on, daughter. Come on, son. Come on. That's what I'm talking about. Proper fighting talk. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. Woo! He literally has no hold. You know why? Because money is the biggest bondage in this world. And if you can just, you are literally, and you think, yeah, I'm just communicating. I'm communicating him. I'm communicating my Father. I'm communicating his words. Don't shoot the messenger. I am communicating the Lord. It would be you or me that hold him back. The third one is the Hittites. And this is my last one. And then we're coming in for land. And this one represents a spirit of fear, discouragement, and confusion. And when this one comes in, this one can mess you up. This one can cause you to... You know when someone throws sand in your face or you... So, yeah, sand in your face. You can't negotiate what on earth was all that about? And I believe that that spirit has been prevalent in this last season in our lives. And he's caused a sandstorm in people's eyes. They can't see where they're going. And the way to go through this is you have to know what God's word says. You have to be men and women. You see, when the fear and the confusion comes, we all get hit with it. I just want you to know that. We all get hit with it. But remember what I said, stop, think, reflect, and act. Take a step back. Okay, what is this, Lord? What are we dealing with here? And then this is the time when it says, remember when in Joshua he said, the Lord said to him, do not fear, do not be discouraged, for I am with you. And then he said to him, but do not let the word of God depart from your mouth, and do not let it depart from your mind. And then he said, I will be with you always. Now, what happens when things get fuzzy and we all get messed up? What we do is we actually forget what the word of God says. But in this time, it is the most important thing that you grab on to the word of God. You hold to him. You wait on him. And you allow that word to come out of your mouth because you're mature. You allow, no matter what circumstance, no matter what the bank account looks like, no matter what people are saying, no matter the accusation, the word of God says that every tongue that has risen up in judgment against me will be condemned. The word of God says that you are with me and you will never leave me nor forsake me. The word of God says that I will rise a standard against the enemy. The word of God says, and so what you do is you take the sword of the Spirit then you start to fight in the supernatural, because we are not fighting against each other. We are not in a battle against each other. There is a spiritual realm going on. And more important than that, is God is producing something in you. And when people get sand in their eyes, they can't see, they're fearful and they're discouraged, they forget. Get that the sovereign God is producing within you something for eternity, something that is going to cause you to take your land. You see, when you increase, you don't have to take land. You just take it. When you grow, when you increase, it says, I will give you the land. I'll tell you, you don't have to do nothing. You don't have to kick doors. You don't have to go looking for it. It comes to you. When you increase, when you go through your stuff, when you allow God to change you, when you allow God to do what he wants to produce in you, you don't have to do niche, nada, nothing. The doors just fling. The situations change. Circumstances change. And let me tell you, you don't move your position until they do. You don't move until they do. Something has to change. Something has to change. And I don't know about you, but I serve a God that does not change. He is not a God that lies. He cannot break his word. Everything else can be broken, but him is what I stand on. He is who we serve. He will establish. He will bring to pass. He will do it in your life. Do not move. Do not shift. Continue to proclaim. Continue to speak life. Don't allow the report of the doctor. Don't allow the sandstorm. Don't allow any of the circumstances, the tape that's playing in your mind. Don't allow it. You declare the word of God. You declare who he is to you, who he is to this church. And you do not join. You divorce anything that is not in line with his words. And you become an agent of change. You become an ambassador that he can trust. You become a reconciliator. You become someone that he can say, yeah, okay, take her, because she will stand in the midst of adversity and she will proclaim my name. Though he slay me, I will proclaim his name. And when all is said and done, the circumstances will change. The sickness will go. Lives will change. But I'm telling you, many a Christian turn and run. Many a Christian, they're not patiently enduring with his word, doing battle in the spirit, pondering. You know, a lot of the time it comes down to not being able to process with him. You've got to come away from the crowd. You've got to come away from the noise. You've got to come away from the voices. You've got to come away from everything and come away with me, says the Lord. Come into my secret place with me and I will share secrets with you that go way beyond this realm, way beyond anything you've seen. I'm going to share with you and I'm going to show you what's happening in this season. And you come away with him. And then when God gives you understanding, the Bible says, get understanding, though it may cost you all you have. And sometimes it's a cost to get understanding. Though it may cost you all you have, get understanding. Why? Because when you have understanding, you can stand under it. You can stand under anything when you know you have the mind of Christ. He's shown you the situation. And yes, sometimes it's fuzzy. It's not like I hear his voice all the time. He may have said something a year ago, and I've stood on that. I've stood on it. I've taken it to the bank. That is my story. What you've spoken to me is my story. Nothing else is my story, but you have spoken. Your word has been given. That's my story. And so as God is doing what God is doing, the worship team can come back up as we're going to go, and we were actually going to do an old school, but I want to share this, it's quite important. One of the things we have to become skilled in is discerning good and evil. There's a scripture in Hebrews that says, that you either desire milk or you desire meat. And actually the word perfection and the meat it's talking about, it's the same thing, teleos. It's talking about when you understand why we go through the things we go through is to sanctify you. You'd understand that the milk, if you think about a baby in milk, it's needs. They have needs, they just want their milk, it's feed me, feed me, feed me, feed me, feed me, feed me. And as Christians, as we start to grow in the Lord, it's not just about feed me, feed me, feed me, feed me, my needs, I need, I need, I need. When you start to mature in the Lord, you start to understand that God is doing something in your life and he wants to do something through your life. And so you grow and you become, the Bible talks about being skilled in the word of righteousness, being skilled in the word of God, understanding how to use the word of God in a skilled way, in an exercised way. How do you become skilled? You become skilled by doing it. You become skilled by practicing the word of God in your life, practicing discerning between good and evil. Every day of your life is a training ground. The church is not just a training ground. Your workplace, your university, the doctor's surgery, the hospital, wherever you are, whatever your environment is, your training ground. People get confused about the four walls of the church. This is not it. This is not it. Oh my gosh, if this was it, we'd all go home. Really? Really? No. No, your spheres, your businesses, your universities, your workplaces, that's where God trains you. That's where he teaches you how to discern between good and evil. He trains you for righteousness' sake, and then he gives you ground. Then he opens doors. It talks about that people will be dull of hearing. And I think what's happened in this last season is people have become dull. You know, if you become dull of hearing, it's a Greek word called nathos, and it actually means illegitimate. And I'm telling you this because it's a very important thing if you listen to this. If you don't obey God's word, you become an illegitimate child. Do you know what an illegitimate child is? Someone who doesn't have a father and mother. You know, obedience to his word is the most important thing. If anything you take from this, you know what he holds the biggest thing is obedience to his word and his spirit. Everything else, all the fluff, all the noise, all the madness, whatever, he'll hold you accountable to the obedience of his word and his spirit. And I think as Christians, if we all became those men and women that were able to discern between good and evil, that were trained in righteousness, that were not dull of hearing. If I asked every one of you here, if you were born again Christian, what was the last thing that God spoke to you? Then you would be able to answer me, I don't know. Then I would suggest to you, if you're not a baby Christian, that you're dull of hearing, because the Spirit of God is speaking. He's speaking, he's speaking. And today we're going to be praying for any dullness, any hardness, anything that's tried to cut in on your walk. If you're a new Christian in this place or someone that has come, this is not for you. My goodness, you drink your milk. We'll clean up your mess. But if you've been a Christian and you are, and I'm not talking about how many years you've been saved. My goodness, I hear this all the time. People say, I've been saved 15, 20 years. I look and go, really? I wouldn't tell many people that. Because your life doesn't reflect it. Your life in Christ, I'm not talking about business. It's different. I'm not talking about your career. I'm not talking about your status. I'm talking about your character in Christ. And they say to me, I've been, 25 years I've been saved. I'm like, really? I would really keep that under your hat. It's not about how long you've been saved. It's about how much you've allowed God to do in your life. And your life will reflect it. And not just when you turn up here. What do your work colleagues say about you? What do they say about you at university? What do they say about you in the marketplace? When they push in, that reflects your character in Christ. That's what he's looking at. That's what he's looking at. He looks at us, our whole holistic life. Stand with me today. If you're a babe in Christ, just enjoy him. Learn how to pray. Talk to him. Write him letters. Just enjoy him. Worship him. Learn how to know his presence. Learn how to apply just the word. If you're new in Christ, but for the ones that are maturing and have been through this last season, it's now a time to awaken. To awaken to his word and awaken to his spirit and start to obey him in every area of our lives. Let's just start to worship.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday at 10 a.m. and 12 p.m. or go to vomanchester.org for more information.